And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday morning podcast of the Grace Hour. Good to be with you, friends. Thanks so much. We are going to be referring to our, what we commonly refer to as our broadcast, as our podcasts from now on, because that's what it is. This is the Grace Hour podcast. Welcome to it. Thank you so much for being with us on this Friday morning. And we're looking forward to today's podcast, because we're talking still about the armor of God, spiritual warfare. And today we'll be talking about the importance of both the Word of God and prayer in relationship to spiritual warfare. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Sturge Gorham. We will be your hosts for today's podcast, and we hope that you will enjoy our theme and subject matter today. We do want to remind you, we love when you participate during our podcast. All you have to do is share your thoughts with us on the chat. If you'd like to weigh in with a comment, please feel free to do so. A question that you have, we'll do our best to answer those questions as we continue with our program. But we really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to be with us, and hope that you can contribute to the podcast today while we continue our live podcast. I'm going to get used to saying that, Pastor Sturge.
Podcast.
For years, we talked about the Grace Hour as a broadcast, but now we're going to keep looking at it and referring to it as a podcast.
Yep. Just say it 8 times in a row, and they say you'll remember
yes.
it.
I'll probably, from time to time, make a mistake, but we're going to correct that, and we're going to stick with this, because that's what our friends are enjoying each and every day that we do these podcasts live. Mm-hmm. Pastor Sturge, this is a great theme and a great subject. We said yesterday on the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour that, you know, you have spiritual warfare. There are some believers that don't recognize the nature of spiritual warfare. And then, of course, you might have some believers that I guess you could classify them as spiritual, conscientious war objectors. Mm. In other words, we think back, some of us that are old enough to remember during the Vietnam conflict, you had conscientious war objectors. They would not, they wouldn't become part of the draft. They just chose to leave the country, perhaps go to Canada or some other nation and find refuge there, because they were not going to obey the government when they were drafted into what at that time was called a conflict, and we know today is the Vietnam War. But spiritually speaking, it's possible for believers to say, I don't want to get caught up in a conflict. I just want to enjoy my Christian life. But isn't it safe to say that if you become a spiritual conscientious war objector, that you could, I mean, there could be some disastrous results, I mean, some dire consequences, if you don't recognize the nature of spiritual warfare?
Oh, absolutely. Ephesians 6, it starts right there, verse 12. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Let's stop right there. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. If that's what we're looking at, if we're looking at people, and people are mistreating us, and Satan is using people to mistreat us, and that's all we're looking at, and we don't see the invisible, we will be conscientious war, you know, spiritual war deserters. We'll desert, because I think it's a comfort, actually, when we see that we're not wrestling against people, we're not wrestling against our own blood and our own flesh, and we're not wrestling against other people's flesh and blood. But these are beings that are much more powerful than us, and much more intelligent than us. Actually, they're angelic, fallen angelic beings. Yes, but when we realize who our commander in chief is, I think that's the key. That's the key to the warfare. And we were talking earlier about George Washington. They say that he was with the troops for over 4 years. He never left the troops in their worst time. They were in Trenton, New Jersey. They were in the bitter, bitter cold winter, crossing the Delaware and other different places. They had very little clothing, very little food. And yet George Washington lived with them. He stayed with them. He was their friend. He was an example to these warriors, to these soldiers, and they loved him. They loved him. And that made the fight worth it. And I was thinking that Jesus Christ never leaves the troops. He never leaves one soldier. Not one soldier does he leave. You know, and we know in Hebrews, I will never leave you. I will never, Hebrews 13:5. He promises, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. But what I think happens is that we internalize the battle and we get subjective and we think, oh, woe is me. I'm all by myself in this battle. And even when we go to pray, we pray, we end up praying to ourselves. I mean, and Jesus is right there and he's saying, wait a minute, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If we can, again, the subject is praying according to the word. If we have the truth in our heart when we pray in the battle, it's the game changer.
It is the game changer. And that's why our emphasis today on the podcast is to bring out the importance of the Word of God in the midst of this warfare and the power of prayer. Both of them are the essentials. And a reminder, too, that and you just said it, that God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. In other words, we are not going to suffer defeat after defeat in our lives because of the nature of spiritual warfare. But God says we're going to go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, and from victory to victory because of the Spirit of God. But don't we have to learn in this process to rely upon God when we're in the midst of these spiritual battles?
Yes.
Because these conflicts are real. They're not, you know, and Paul said it, we mentioned it in yesterday's podcast, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Mm.
And then he goes on to say in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the weapons of our warfare. He used the word warfare. So to deny the reality of spiritual warfare is to deny what the Word of God is teaching us.
Mm.
And you can't do that. If you do, then it could be dire consequences. You could become a victim of spiritual warfare simply because you don't acknowledge it, you don't see it, you don't discern it, you don't recognize it.
Mm. Oh, isn't that interesting? And in this country that we live in, it's all about comfort.
And peace.
And peace and convenience. And who wants a battle? Who wants a fight? I mean, people fight all the time. People fight in their homes. They fight. The words are thrown back and forth, back and forth. And people, after a while, they just say, "I don't want any conflict at all. I just want peace." And you can have that, but where is the abundant life? You might have peace. You might have an outward peace. But are you experiencing that richness of fellowship with his sufferings? I don't think so. Mm. I don't think you are.
Yeah. I mean, to overlook this reality is to put ourselves in a very vulnerable position, spiritually speaking. Because again, we're talking about the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. We're talking about the God of this world. He exists. He is real. There is a great spiritual enemy. To deny that is to deny the reality of what we read about in the book of Job, where Satan came before the presence of God and requested to have access to Job and to allow all of this calamity to come into Job's life. And God gave him that permission. Mm-hmm. To deny the reality of this great spiritual enemy is to deny the truth of what Jesus said to Peter. When he said, "Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you like wheat. And I've given him permission to do that." So again, for someone to say, this is all foolishness, you know, I'll take the little image in the cartoon character of the devil on my shoulder with the pitchfork, but then the angel on the other shoulder, and they're just both whispering in, you know, their respective ears. But it's more than that. Mm-hmm. There is a conflict that is spiritual in nature. It is raging. And in reality, if you could pull back the curtain and see these spiritual realities, it would make Star Wars look like kid stuff.
Gosh. Undeniably true. Undeniably true. Getting back to what we said before, if we could see these beings that are sent from Satan to attack us, we would just say, I have no power against it. I'm no match. And you know what? We are no match in ourselves.
Right.
We are no match. And I think that's the first place we have to get to. And you mentioned it. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural and they're not human. They're mighty through God. Okay. It's the God factor. This warfare isn't even about us.
That's right.
It's not even about us.
That's right. How many times in the scripture are we reminded, and God is the one who's doing the reminding, that the battle belongs to the Lord?
Yeah.
I mean, we're in it, but it's not our battle.
No.
It's His. But we get the opportunity to be used by God in the midst of this battle so that ultimately God receives the victory and gets the glory.
Yep. How about 2 Kings 19? Let's turn there. This is an amazing story about just what you're talking about. All right, 2 Kings 19. And verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And this is from Sennacherib. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Okay, so he received this threat from the enemy that way outnumbered the folks in Judah. And what did he do with that threat? He spread it before the Lord. He did not keep reading it over and over again and internalizing it. He just took that letter and said, Lord, here, you read this, because this isn't my business. It's not my business to reply to this letter. It's yours. It's not my business to respond. It's yours. And then he said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God. You are the God. You alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear. You hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. What did he do? He just told God who he was. He didn't talk about how powerless he was. He just reminded God how awesome he is, how much greater he is than any threat from earthly beings. And then he said, incline your ear, O Lord, hear, open your eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. And then in verse 19, so now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. It was not about Israel. It was about God. It was about God's name. It was about God's reputation.
Yes.
Like, so when we come under attack, whoever we are, and many of you listening this morning, you know exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Many of you have been around for a long time, and you know when you're getting attacked by the enemy. But it's not about you. It's not about me. And we cannot ever take it personally.
That's right.
It's about the name of God. And when it's all over, God's name is going to be honored and it's going to be exalted.
Yeah. And I like that, what you just said. Don't take it personal. Because if it's personal, maybe it's because people are involved. And you've got to look beyond people and see principles, spiritual principles at work. If you just see the people, like you said, it's just going to create more problems, more heartache, more division, more strife. It's never about people, is it? It's always principalities and powers. If you don't have a spiritual perspective about warfare, it's going to be reduced to people. They've hurt you. They've wounded you. They've offended you. And, you know, you're going to be bitter. You're going to be angry. You're going to carry your wounds throughout the course of your life. And that's not necessary to have happen. Just recognize the nature of spiritual conflict and realize that, you know, God allowed this to happen in your life because he wants to teach you some of these principles. Mm-hmm. Because again, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You know, there's another wonderful story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and this has to do with Jehoshaphat, who was leading the nation of Israel at that time. Verse 1, it says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat feared, but he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Don't you rule over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein, for thy name, saying, when evil, or if evil, should come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in your presence, for thy name is in this house. We will cry unto you in our affliction. You will hear, and you will help. I mean, he said the same thing that Hezekiah said, right?
Yes.
They began to speak about who God was. They began to proclaim the name and the nature of God. They took hold of the promises of God. And this is exactly what we are told to do when we find ourselves in the midst of spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
Call upon our understanding of God. Look to the promises of God. Understand the character and the nature of God. And cast down any thoughts that try to exalt themselves against that knowledge of who God is and what he's promised to do for his people.
Amen. Amen. I mean, we have so many exceeding great and precious promises. And they've come to us right when we needed them most, haven't they? How many rhemas have we, all of us, including everyone that's listening, that God, at the right moment, in the midst of the most intense warfare against us, the Lord has given us a verse. And it was exactly what we needed. And it was that sword. It was the sword that the Holy Spirit used to defeat that projection. He used that as a sword to defeat that project, and it was gone.
Yeah.
It was gone. It was Hebrews 13:5. God himself has said, I will not ever leave you. I will never forsake you. Mm. Therefore, it says, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do to me?
That's right.
That's just one. There's so many throughout the Word of God.
That's right. All those promises.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when we go through our struggles, spiritual in nature, when we go through the storms of life, that's the best time to reflect and to meditate upon the promises of God. Right? I mean, it's not that we're denying the reality of what's happening in our lives. Mm. The storms are real. The struggles are real. And we go through them. But what are we thinking about when we go through them? You know, Jesus said through the prophet Isaiah, when you go through the water, I'll be with you. When those storm waters rise, I'll be with you. When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. Again, we're counting on the presence of God. We're looking to God. And how do we look to him? But through the reflection and the meditation of his promises that he's made to us.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to incorporate the word of God in the midst of our tests, trials,
yeah,
temptations, struggles, and storms.
Yeah.
I mean, here's Jesus in the wilderness, and the God of this world is tempting him or putting him to a test. And what does he refer to? The Bible. When the first temptation comes, he quotes the Bible. When the second temptation comes, he quotes the Bible. The third temptation comes, he quotes the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He's living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And there's something to be said about that. If Jesus needed to learn to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, how much more important is it for you and I?
Oh my gosh. It's like, it's truth. It's truth. And that's, I think that's what we really need to see, that number one, that it's true, whether we feel it or not. Because to be perfectly honest, when we are in the midst of these attacks, our feelings can be raging. Our emotions can be raging. And we all know what I'm saying today.
Yes.
But the truth, and I love what Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified says. It says, faith perceives as fact what is not revealed to the senses. Mm. Faith perceives as fact what is not revealed to the senses. So my senses might be like all over the place, but faith says, wait a minute. The fact is, I have been crucified with Christ. I have died. My life is hidden with Christ in God above. I'm seated above, far above principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, Pat, we were having our staff prayer meeting, and Pastor Schaller was just praying the word. He was praying those verses.
That's right.
In Ephesians.
Yeah.
In Colossians.
That's
he was
right.
Praying the word, and it was so powerful.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that works for us as well.
Mm.
I mean, just to turn to our Bibles when we sense that we're in, you know, the intensity of spiritual warfare is the best way to confront it when it happens in our lives. And then, of course, the power of prayer, just to be praying. I mean, everywhere in the scripture we read, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Right. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. So prayer is something that should be a part of our lives on a regular, consistent, habitual basis. But then there are times when we look for corporate prayer, when we cry out and ask the help of others in prayer, because there are the natures of some trials are so great that we want to incorporate the prayers of other believers as well. And that's so powerful. But the whole point is that we are never going to lose our divine perspective when we're in the Word, when we're in prayer. And we're never going to end up looking at the things which can be seen, which are temporal and not even real. But we're focusing on that which is eternal, not seen. And that's what's really at stake.
Yeah. It's like the message we heard Wednesday, where there's no second plan. There's no plan B. We're not jumping out of the ship. We're staying in the ship. And guess what? We're surrounded by brothers and sisters. We're surrounded by fellow soldiers. And again, I refer back to Washington, George Washington. Like, there was a corps of men that never left him either. He didn't leave them, but they never left him. They stayed with him throughout that war. They could have gone home.
Yeah.
They could have gone on furlough, but they stayed with their commander, and they were rewarded greatly because of that.
Yeah. Amazing. You know, I'm reminded of a book that I read years ago. It was entitled The Bait of Satan. And the whole book focuses on believers becoming offended. And he describes in that book, and I can't remember the author's name, but he describes in that book how that's the bait that Satan uses, which is, let's make this about other people. Don't see me behind it. And don't see me trying to create disunity and disharmony in the body of Christ. But just get offended, get hurt, get wounded, and then blame people. And just keep me out of it completely. Don't see me in any of it. And that way, it'll be reduced to a conflict that you have with other people, disagreements with other people. You get hurt, you get wounded, you get offended. And my goodness, when that happens, somebody that's wounded, the fact or the possibility of them to be restored is, well, you're better off taking a city and defeating a whole city, because a wounded brother, once offended, it's harder to win back than a walled city.
Wow. Boy, that is so true. Again, that's a discipline. That's a discipline that we stop looking at people, that we just stop looking, and we stop listening to the accusations that come out of their mouths, because most of the times they're not even aware of what they're saying. They're not. They are totally unaware of what they're saying. But it's you said it. You said it. It's from an invisible enemy that, what does he say? He accuses us day and night, day and night. But actually, why not turn the table and pray for those people? Pray for the ones that are throwing the accusations, because they need to be released. They need to be delivered from that evil, don't they?
Yes. And we don't, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is talking about forgiving and the importance of forgiving other people, which is really the greatest liberation that a believer can experience in their lives and in their souls. Because with a lack of forgiveness, the wounds that potentially could happen and then begin to fester and create, you know, build walls between yourself and other people, even people that are close to you, even lifelong friends, even family members. He said something very fascinating in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, if that happens, or don't let that happen, because Satan wants to gain an advantage over us. And then he said this, that we cannot afford to be ignorant of his devices. You know, the moment you make it about people, you've let the devil off the hook. You're letting him do his work and his bidding, and you're not even recognizing it. You're attributing it to people, to circumstances, to the situations you find yourself in, and you've completely missed the boat, so to speak. And you can find yourself ignorant of his devices. We don't want to be ignorant of his devices. He's got a strategy. He has methods and means whereby he approaches believers to destroy their relationships. He did it in Galatia, the province of Galatia, where believers were biting and devouring one another. He did it in Corinth, where they were, you know, they had factions, they had special people that they, you know, leaders that they chose. I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of this. I mean, you can just see how he operates to create disunity and to keep believers from experiencing the oneness that Jesus prayed for in John's Gospel, chapter 17. His prayer was very clear and specific. Father, our prayer, my prayer is that they would be one, even as we are one. If that oneness should be seen by a watching world, Jesus said, then the world will know that the Father has sent the Son.
Well,
so the devil works overtime, doesn't he?
Yes.
To create disunity, disharmony, to create factions, wounds, biting and devouring one another. Oh, can't you just see how he just glories in that?
Yep. And don't you think that the key to overcoming in warfare is one word, and we heard it Wednesday night, humility.
Yes.
It is humility. And Satan's bait is pride. Pride is the root of division. Pride is the root. But when you humble yourself, and I love 1 Peter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. You don't wait for the other person to humble themselves, right? Are you waiting for them to humble themselves and apologize to you? Well, good luck. It's like somebody said, it's like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to
die. That's right.
No, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. This isn't about people. It's about God.
Yep.
Pastor Stevens taught us years ago, it's never about people. No matter what people do to me, God's allowed it. God, my Father, who loves me, has allowed it. And though Jesus was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. How else do we learn to? And obedience means to hear under, to hear under, to hear under. How else do we learn to hear under unless we suffer and we're humbled? And that's the mighty hand of God.
Yeah.
And he uses people to humble us.
Of course. He uses everything, doesn't he?
Everything.
I mean, think of what the Apostle Paul said. He said, you know, all things are for our sakes. All things. Then he went on to say, all things are of God. Then he went on to say, all things will work together for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. So what does that do? That eliminates people. It eliminates people completely. Everything, that's from God. All things, yeah, that's from God. Everything's going to work together for the good. That's from God.
Wow.
If you approach life with that divine perspective, you're going to keep yourself from being hurt, wounded, and offended.
Mm-hmm.
And these offenses, I mean, you know, Jesus' disciples, not one time they saw Jesus perform miracles. They never once said, oh, Lord, increase our faith. They saw Jesus raise people from the dead. They never once said, oh, you know, Lord, increase our faith. But Jesus said, I'm telling you, you will not get through life without being offended. Then the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith.
Mm.
It was like they knew that had the potential to take them out.
Mm.
And that's when they realized our faith needs to be increased. Because Jesus just told us, you're not going to get through life unscathed. You're not going to get through life without being offended. Offenses will come. But do we have a structure established in our hearts and in our minds where we can deal with it when it happens so it doesn't take us out? And it all begins by recognizing that the battle is the Lord's.
Yeah.
And I'm in it. I'm a part of it,
mm-hmm.
but it's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's battle.
Yeah.
And if God's got me in this battle, then he's going to bring me and lead me into victory.
Yeah. You know, none of us, when we got saved, the day we got saved, none of us had any idea of what we were getting ourselves into. If we had, maybe we wouldn't have signed. Who knows? Maybe some people would have said, well, I don't know. But we had no idea that we were not only saved, but we were enlisted.
Yes.
We were enlisted. Mm. And I love what Paul said. He said to Timothy, you know, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the one that is enlisted wants to please the one who enlisted him, you know.
Mm.
I'd love the book of Acts. In the beginning, after they had threatened Peter and the apostles, Acts chapter 4. Do you mind if I read this?
Not at all.
This is beautiful. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Let's see. Oops, I was in John. Here we go. All right, here we go. When they were released, okay, this is Peter and the other apostles. When they were released, and they had just been totally like put on the hot iron plate with the Pharisees. I mean, they were grilled, and they said, "Don't you dare speak any more about Jesus." Talk about an attack. Talk about a satanic attack. They just finished, you know, healing a guy and then preaching. And then immediately, right? Isn't that like you said when you, and I think you guys said it yesterday.
Battles always follow blessings.
Always follow blessings.
Yep.
You know, and so immediately after this incredible miracle came the persecution. But then I love how they responded. When they were released, they went to their friends. This is body life. They went to their friends, reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they complained. No, they murmured. No. When they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed." You see, they got it. They understood the warfare.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And then it goes on to say, for truly in the city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take, wow, place. Wait a minute. You mean your hand predestined the cross, the suffering,
mm-hmm.
the rejection of Christ? Yes, mm-hmm. that was your plan. And now, Lord, you look upon their threats. We're not gonna look upon their threats. You look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness and stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness.
Amazing.
There it is, the New Testament.
They considered themselves blessed, and they said, can you believe that we are counted worthy to be persecuted for his name's sake? That's incredible. They recognized it. They saw it. Mm-hmm. They got it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to not get it.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at Saul of Tarsus, you know, raging against the church. He's on the road to Damascus. He's persecuting them. He's having them put in prison. He's delivering papers to have them put to death. Mm. And then Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus. And he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And his, remember what his response was. He says, you know, who are you? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He didn't even know it.
Wow.
He didn't even recognize it. He had no clue. Now, granted, he was unregenerated. He wasn't saved. But at the same time, you know, you can be zealous and you can think that you're doing God's work, but you can be completely misled and deceived. Because Paul said, in as much as you are persecuting the church, you are persecuting me. And he was completely ignorant of what he was doing. So again, we need the word of God. We need the Spirit of God to open the eyes of our understanding so that we can recognize the nature of spiritual warfare. And again, we mentioned this yesterday. It's not about everything, okay? It's not
right,
like we have
right.
to overturn every rock and find a demon under there
right.
or to be looking under the bed and looking for it's not it, you know? Sometimes difficulties and situations can develop because of our own bad decisions. And, you know, it's like the old comedian, I can't remember his name.
Flip Wilson.
Yeah. The devil made me do it.
Yep.
Some Christians can be like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they blame everything on the devil when in reality, it's not the case.
Could be me.
Exactly. It could be us.
Right.
So we just need to guard our hearts, be very, very discerning. And that comes through the word of God. That comes through prayer. We become spiritually sensitive and we can discern the spirits. One of our brothers posted up there from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And that's an important passage in scripture because John says, discern the spirits to see whether or not they are from God. And as we discern the spirits and we have a discerning spirit, and by the way, that's not just a gift given to some believers. Like, I have a gift of discernment, but you don't. No. Every believer, the more they take into their souls the word of God, the greater their capacity and ability to discern spirits and to discern spiritual things.
Mm.
So keep stockpiling the promises of God in your heart. Keep hiding God's word in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 11. Because we need it. It's imperative. And keep bringing everything before God in prayer. These are our resources. These are our weapons in the midst of this kind of warfare.
Mm. And what do we do when we're attacked? We do what Moses did. He ducked.
Yeah.
And he let God take the hit.
Humility.
He ducked. He let God take the hit. Jesus said, you have not, Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. I mean, think about his identification with us.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ's identification with me and with you, that when someone slanders me, they're not slandering me. They're slandering Jesus Christ. Mm. He said, I sat where they sat.
Yeah.
Right? He said, in all their afflictions, I am afflicted.
Yeah.
In all their afflictions, I am afflicted. I mean, come on.
Stay away from the judgment seat. Don't sit there. Unless you have all knowledge.
Right.
Unless you're God.
Yeah.
But the fascinating thing is, even God himself, while he sits in that seat, has chosen not to judge us, but to forgive us.
Mm.
I mean, it goes back to forgiveness, doesn't it?
Mm.
You want to be released from the hurts and the wounds and the offenses of others? Learn what the Bible has to say about forgiveness.
Wow.
And you'll find liberty and freedom in your heart.
Wow.
Final thoughts, Pastor Sturge, as we wrap up today's podcast?
Well, I think the key, what I was thinking is in prayer, don't turn inward. Don't turn inward. When you're praying, when the heat's up and the arrows are coming at you, don't turn inward. Just look at your commander in chief.
Wow.
Look at Jesus. He's in the middle of the battle right with you.
Yeah.
He's in the middle and he'll never leave you or forsake you. And I just in the simplicity of knowing that he's with me, that he'll never leave me or forsake me in the biggest heat of the battle. I think that is the most comforting thing in warfare.
Amen. Amen. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us for the Friday broadcast of the Grace Hour. We hope you have a great weekend. We want to remind you that, God willing, we'll be back next week for a whole new week of podcasts, and we hope that you'll join us then. Thank you for listening today, and thanks for participating for those of you that weighed in with your thoughts and your comments in today's Grace Hour podcast. Again, have a great weekend. Till next week, may God bless you.